I was like, yeah, if y'all can check it out, Goose of Grace, figure out the name, because I was like, you know, you got Dove and Peace. What goes along with Dove and Peace? Goose and the Grace. I said, which is a complete lie. I said, because if you go up to Ferrum College, you meet the geese you've ever seen. I said, I watched them chase one kid at 8 a.m. across the pond.
The chickens of Christendom just doesn't roll off the tongue. What other names we could add? The chickens of Christendom.
The tranquility of the turkeys, even though they're wild.
What's a bird that starts with an M? Are there birds that start with the letter M? I'm trying to pick one up now.
I'm going
to
Google it. Cause
mackerel.
That's a fish, isn't it?
Mackerel bird.
That's a fish.
No, this is different. This is a bird. It's a mackerel bird.
Again, I don't think you can just say it's a bird.
The great winged man which... Welcome to the Goose of Grace, because all the good names are taken. My name's Dan Amos, and I'm here with a guy that's dead to me and everybody else at Miriam Baptist Church.
Oh, Drewski Drew.
No, I kid. We are so proud, Drew, for being the new pastor at New Vision Baptist Church.
Oh, MP or NV.
I'm going to take your word that was correct.
New pastor, NP of New Vision, NV.
Okay,
NP
all right.
NP of NV.
I'm still wrapping my head around.
But if you say NV too flowy, it's envy.
Envy, yeah.
it's actual word. Envy. Yeah. It's actual word.
I guess jealous of everybody. they made the pastor.
I'm glad to be joined by Pumpkin Eyes here. So
yeah, what is that? What does that have to do with anything? What? So if you don't listen to the Mosaic of Marion, his dad, Hank Meadows, calls me Old Pumpkin. Well, he has different names for me like every week, but here lately has been Old Pumpkin Eyes, and I don't know how to take that. I don't know if I should like blush or punch him in the face
We were going to Charlotte the day after my ordination, the day after I became pastor at New Vision.
Officially.
I took a day off. Yeah. My first day was a day off. And it was kind of funny because we were riding. It was a very lull in the conversation. Yeah. So we were just kind of sitting there, and he goes, "Hey, you need to call Dan Pumpkin Ass." I was like, "Why?" He was like, "I don't know. I called it. It really bothered him."
Well, I kept trying to like hold my eyes different to see like maybe he's onto something.
I think it might be more that your eyes are kind of like this out part is higher than the lower part. Because, you know, if you look at pumpkin eyes, jack-o'-lanterns, they're slanted down. And so that could be it. I don't know if it's the width.
This week I've had to edit these video lessons that are going out. They'll be out by the time this.
And you've been worried about your eyes the whole time.
Well, here's the thing. One of my eyes opens way more than the other. And it used to not be like that. If you look at old pictures of me, perfectly normal eyes.
Get in front of the camera,
years of
all
glasses,
of a sudden,
boom! Yeah, like, it's like half my face was melted off. Like it was the craziest thing.
So my wife has a lazy eye.
Oh,
but if you bring it up,
work.
If you bring it up to her about her lazy eye, she'll shut it. But
then
it's not
really lazy.
It's not perfect. She said, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Whoa! Why'd you shut it?" And she's like, "I'm not doing it."
It went from lazy to comatose.
The fact that I acknowledge it means it has to shut.
Oh man,
it's like a crab. You get too close to it.
I'd just like to point out that Drew started this conversation, Mallory. I had nothing to do with it.
100%. I'll take the blame for it. I pick on her all the time.
Oh man. So, as you may have noticed, you may not have noticed, we didn't have a new episode last week. We had some scheduling issues. I had eye surgery. Drew had some stuff come up.
And, I had to work at my new church. I just told you I took me off the first day.
Oddly enough, I need to be able to see to run the podcast.
Or to drive here.
Well, yeah.
I think it's a bigger issue.
I don't remember there being so many speed bumps. It's the craziest thing.
Fun fact, though. It's a conspiracy theory that Dan actually got shot in his ass. So my dad surprised me with coming to New Vision, and Dan was preaching here. And apparently Dan sucks at
preaching?
At secrets. And so instead of just facing me like a man, he quote-unquote got shots in his eyes. I've never heard of shots in your eyes, so I'm thinking it's a conspiracy theory.
Oh, man. Oh, we did a whole episode
to a doctor's office.
Conspiracies. That'd be beautiful.
You don't want to hear. I have some crazy ones.
I'm still weird about landing on the moon. I'll be honest. Like I know that's crazy,
up,
but it's there's
up,
a lot of weird footage.
Paul Walker, Tupac, Biggie.
They're in the new Fast and Furious.
No, I mean they might be. That's crazy if they are.
Surprise, we're Hitler, alive and we got a new movie dropping.
Hitler and
he shouldn't be in there.
They're in Argentina hanging out.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I've never seen anybody's.
I'm 70% excited about that. 100% very upset.
Well, I mean, hey, did you ever see Hitler's body?
I'm not that old, Drew.
Dude, it's called the internet. Google.
Oh, yeah. There's only one way to see things, and it's in person. That's how old I am. I just proved how old I am by saying I'm not that old.
Exactly.
Oh, man. All right. We're going to get into it. So follow along with me. All right. This is all.
It's a triangle. It's not a circle before he ever starts. Dan.
Okay. We'll go with the triangle. The triangle of greatness. Okay. And this is based on three scriptures. I thought circle, and then Drew said, no, if it's only three, it's a triangle. I said, it depends on how you draw it. I can draw a circle with 3 points.
Yeah, but math people will hate you because you know you got to go from A to B.
Oh, if they see how I am with math, they'll hate me anyway. Trust me. Baker's dozen, all right?
Oh, yeah. I will say this, that we kind of need to tweak the name because when you say triangle of greatness, mm-hmm. most people will be like, oh, Trinity.
Illuminati. Oh.
Wow. Wow.
Man, all right. We do not finish each other's sandwiches.
No, we don't. Share. Neither do I.
No, but this thought of the great commandment, the great commission, and the commandment, the definition of loving God according to the Bible, all really reinforce each other and tie into each other. And so I want to hit on that today because it really just kind of framed things for me in a new way. And I wanted to share that. So I think that's what we're going to actually read three scripture. So we're going to go back and forth, Drew. We're not just doing one person doing scripture. You read, I read, you read, I pray.
Let's just see how far we get.
Figured it out right there.
Let's just see how far we get.
All right. So I want to start with 1 John.
Having a Dan takeover is not going smoothly.
Yeah, and I'm wired today. Let me tell you, I'm a little fired up.
That means we're not getting past this first point.
Okay, so here we go.
Okay, here we
go.
We're
going to start 1 John.
1 John.
Chapter 5.
Chapter 5.
Verses 2.
Dose for you.
3.
Trace.
2 and 3. Yeah.
Dose and trace.
All right. Verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 5. Here we go. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. All right, let's pray, and then we'll hit the other ones. Let's do that. So go ahead.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love, Lord, and what it's done for us, Lord. Be with us as we talk about your love. Let us do our due diligence with this, Lord. And we name I pray. Amen.
I just had a thought, Drew. This is real time. You guys are seeing behind the curtain. Why don't we do 3 episodes?
That's what I was kind of hoping for.
Yeah, because I don't think we're going to get through it. I don't think we're going to get through it.
For us to not go through John in about 27 weeks.
So, all right.
And we skipped around.
let's dive into this obedience as love. So here's the thing. This, you don't hear a lot about this. This is kind of my new way of measurement. You can tell how popular something is in the church culture by seeing how many popular worship songs are written about it. I can't remember the last time I heard a popular worship song that talked about obedience. Probably, this tells you how old it is, probably Trust and Obey. And if you think about it, it's been a hot minute since Trust and Obey was on the top 10 charts.
A few years.
But really, like it's one of those things we overlook constantly in church culture now because, and I'm going to be on my high horse, because it doesn't feed into this church attainment. That's a word. Church entertainment. That happens so often.
First of all,
huh?
For some reason, I thought you said attainable. And I'm like,
no, church attainment. Church attainment. Church entertainment. Yeah, I should just separate.
Yeah.
Interchurchment. It sounds like Interstellar or something.
Yeah, intertwining churches. When a church gets to another, too close to another church, it sucks it up.
It's the, what is it, the church cinematic universe. That's what it is.
Wow.
It all comes together. No, but really this idea, and I've really been harping on this lately, so many churches now are in the business of entertaining. They're, and that's why you can't go by... And I told Drew earlier, I've used his quote like 4 times in the last week. the Drew, what is your quote? I can't say it as good as you do.
You just want me to say but. I don't see numbers as butts and seats. I see numbers as souls in heaven.
That's it. And so when we're looking at whether church is being obedient, we can't look at the number because we're in a time where people want to be distracted, where they want to be entertained rather than be obedient. And we see that throughout churches today, unfortunately. I'm not, by no means am I saying all churches, but I'm saying some of these churches, it doesn't take long to find out they're about distraction, they're about entertainment. And so what we see is we can honestly say, do you love God? Because they're not being obedient. They're not being sober-minded as they're called to be. So, Drew, take that thought and run with it for a second.
Okay, so you can drink some water.
Yeah.
you know, a lot of times we think if we come to church, you know, we get really into the music and listen to the pastor and just sit on a pew, that is enough obedience from us that we're doing, you know, exactly what God. Yeah, exactly what God calls. And when in fact God calls, I mean, he does call us to worship him and to glorify him, but never once does he say, hey, you need to sit in a pew on Sunday and sit there and worship me and then you can go home and you've given me enough time. No, he never says that.
Yeah.
We have clear callings as Christians that we have to do, you know, that we must do. And now it's not going to affect your salvation, but it does show your salvation because it's a fruit.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that really shows the love is because when, like, I love my wife, I want to make her happy, you know? I don't want to openly ignore her.
Smart man.
You know? Yeah. I mean, and it's with anybody we love, you know? If you openly, like, just disregard everything they say and just do what you want, that's not showing them you love and care for them.
Yeah.
But listening to them and doing what they ask, that shows that you care enough about them and care enough and you love them that you want to make them happy. You want to do what they ask.
There's a word that you used a couple times and it's a perfect segue into the second part of this scripture. You said want. And I love this because if you look down at verse 4, for everyone who has been born of God over... Nope. Verse 3. We read 2 and 3, correct? Yeah, verse 3.
I'm going to say, man,
for this is the love of God that he keeps commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Here's the thing. What kind of heart do you follow the commandments with? It's not just whether you do it or not, but what kind of heart do you do that with? Is it this thing of like, well, the Bible tells me I got to, so I reckon I ought to... Man, I went real Southern with that.
I know.
But is it this joy? And again, I'm hitting on a couple of points that I ended up hitting on in my sermon Sunday. You know, one of the greatest and one of the first examples of worship in the Bible and the first place where the word worship is used is in reference to Abraham going to sacrifice Isaac. And so the thing of it is, like, you think of worship, that's not really what you think of. But he says, me and the boy are going up to worship. And so the thing is, like, he wasn't happy about it, but at the same time, there was a certain amount of joy in being obedient and showing his love for God. And so it's not this thing that every time that we do something out of obedience that it has to be like, oh, boy, I'm going to do this. But at the same time, you should have a joyful heart when you're obedient.
With, you know, going back to Abraham, that's a great point. We don't see Abraham ever complain.
No, he woke up early the day up. Like, I don't even wake up early when I know I'm gonna have a good day, much less when I know
I don't wake up early when I know I have to wake up early.
and that's one of the points. Like, I'd be putting that off as long as possible.
But yeah, we see Christians complain when they have to do the smallest thing.
Yeah,
and here Abraham was being asked to give up his son,
and was obedient in it.
And
yeah.
And then you also go to the disciples, you know, they were called to leave their whole life. Everything they knew, they were called to leave that.
Ooh.
And yet they didn't complain. You know, they dropped what they were doing and followed him. You know? And then you look at Paul, like, Paul changed his whole life. I mean, he did the opposite of what he was doing before he met Christ. And then we see him, you know, talk about how we need to take joy when we come across, I want to say tribulation. Is that the word?
Yeah, hardship.
Yeah. And we're like, well, it's easy to say that, but no, Paul lived that.
He was in
too.
Prison.
Yeah,
like,
and you know, you, I mean, and you got James who says it as well. You know, kind of joy when you go yep. through various trials, and everything we see in the Bible, it's these people who aren't just saying it but are living it mm-hmm. as well, and they're doing it because we always see in every book Paul writes, he opens it up by first saying who he is and who yep. he's writing to, but then he immediately goes into thankfulness.
Yep.
What he's thankful for about that certain church or that certain person or that, you know, yep. whoever he's writing to, he's thankful for them and talks about how much he prays for them.
And you think about, that's a great example. You think about his level of comfort versus on our worst day, ours. I mean, on my worst day, I still wake up in a comfortable bed. I still usually had, like, unless something blew up, I've still got heat and air. I'm comfortable, you know. I walk downstairs, grab a bite to eat, like, no big deal.
Yeah, no mambo sauce. That's probably your worst
yeah,
day.
Like, that's my worst fear, and that's not going to happen. I've got contingencies. I'm hitting around the house just in case. But yet I can wake up and grumble from the first step I take till that night. There are times where I'm just looking.
I mean, we let a headache yeah. decide whether we're going yeah. to church or not.
Yeah. You and know? Here's Paul in prison, and his first two thoughts are, I'm thankful, and I'm going to thank God for you. I'm going to pray for you. And I really think the church is in a place today where we really have to get humbled and have to get back to the basics. And I know I'm not the first person to ever mention this. There's been different movements throughout time that say, we got to get back to the early church. We got to get back to the basics. But, like, I mean, just this whole church culture that's come about. We've got the prosperity gospel, which again is nothing new. We've got this entertainment sector of church where they say, look, we don't care who you are. We don't care if you leave here the same way you came. We just care about you being part of this, and we'll accept whatever you bring. No, like, yes, we should. Don't hear what I'm not saying. We should want everybody from every walk of life to come to church, okay? Are you confused by don't hear what I'm not saying?
Yeah, because you could just say, hear what I'm saying, and it'd be the same thing because you use two double negatives.
I stole that from your dad, okay? Blame him. You should be able to tell by the grammar.
If you're copying him, yeah.
But the thing is, like, absolutely, we should want people from every walk of life in church. But we should not want them to stay in the state they're in. And that includes us. Like, I'm not pointing to anybody in particular. Like, that includes me. I should not want myself to stay in the same state I am.
When was the last time, if you really want to look at your life and see if you're reflecting the love God has for us, or if you're, you know, reciprocating that
right.
love, or if you have that kind of love
yeah.
in you, have you ever prayed for somebody when you're in a valley?
Mm.
Have you ever prayed for somebody when you're struggling? Or is yeah. it all just, hey, God, it's me?
Yeah.
It's
your boy.
I need this. Yeah. You know, I need you to
wish
this.
List. Yeah.
Or do you start like Paul and is like, hey, I'm thankful for this person.
Yeah.
You know, I love this person. You know, dear God, I know they're struggling, but like, be with this person. And I think a lot of us, though, don't do that. I mean, I even fall victim to that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When I get to the valley, like,
a prayer pity party. Easy.
Yeah. And and God's love, at its core, puts us last.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Like, if you have God's love and you're trying to reflect that out, and you're following his commandments, as we yep. said, you know, then if you look at the totem pole or the hierarchy of power here, or priority instead of power,
yeah.
you know, we're at the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, well, I'm talking about, like, we are, like, individuals, like yeah. I am at the bottom right. of my totem pole. You're at the yeah. bottom of yours, like, and
I'm at the bottom of your totem.
Yeah, you're at the bottom of my totem. Don't worry, I'm second to last. Dan's there. Dan's filling in that spot.
I'm a sturdy base for the totem pole.
It's yeah, I would say it's not priority. Mine's just I need something down there.
That's
not gonna fall. A lot of storms in my life. Don't want to blow over.
Oh man.
Oh boy, I forgot it.
Oh man.
But like that's the key. But I feel like as you said, like these new movements, they're kind of like inching us higher and higher and higher.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And
I mean, we've complained about worship songs time and time again, where it's
and then you know. The biggest thing is, it's funny because in some aspects it's true, but in other aspects I'm like, okay, like are we trying to hold their hand or what?
Yeah,
you know, it's like, well, we want you know, everyone when they come to church to be comfortable, like. Yeah, to a certain extent, like, yeah. you want them sitting on a bucket of nails. Yeah. Like, obviously, yeah. Yes, we want them to be comfortable.
You want people to greet them and make them feel welcome as
but
they
like,
come. Yeah, absolutely.
But, like, the whole aspect of church shouldn't be...
your comfort. That's not
Yeah, shouldn't be. Like, yeah. If your church is more on the branding of comfort over correction, then you're missing the beat. And I'm not talking about butts. I'm trying to say as much as possible so Dan can get his feet in.
Get a kick.
I'm not talking about butts. I'm talking about your soul.
Yeah.
You know, yes, let the body be comfortable. Yeah. You know, now you shouldn't, you know, no smoke machines, no huge TVs right in front of your face with ads. You know, like a good pew for good sitting.
Well, that's what we'll start doing. We'll start like every 10 minutes, we'll stop the sermon, play a couple ads. And we got to
this is sponsored
income.
By Lifeway. I will appreciate, though, the fact that the choir chairs have not diminished but rather grown in churches.
Yeah.
That's what people sit in now.
Yeah.
The congregation sits in choir chairs,
yep.
not pews.
Yep.
Because let me say this. First time my butt ever sat in the choir chair, I was like, why am I not in the choir?
Why
I can't sing a lick, but I will sit here. I was happy with that movement. I feel like so many churches have lost that idea of correction over comfort when it comes to the soul.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't care if you come in with a $5 coffee, you know, and you're sitting on a very lavish seat.
Yeah.
That should be the only time you're comfortable.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, if the pastor isn't making you squirm in your seat.
Yeah. Yeah, there should be some conviction out.
Yeah, absolutely. then you're, and there should, then... Try to say this. I'm just gonna say it.
Do
then,
it.
Then the pastor ain't worth the salt.
Yep.
I'm just gonna be honest because I mean, like we see Paul in some of those letters he wrote to churches.
Yep.
Like, look at Corinthians. He ripped some people. I mean, he's not very like.
He's not holding hands.
It's not comfort.
You guys are okay. Like, y'all, you're fine. You're fine.
If there was an award for the last place church, y'all would be it. Basically how he wrapped up Corinthians.
And getting back to obedience, though, what one of the things, and again, this is just my soapbox time in, time out, like, one of the reasons we're not obedient, obviously, we're sinful people. Okay, we're sinners. There's going to be times where our obedience is not perfect. No doubt about it. There's no perfect person. But I think one of the big things that drives this lack of obedience is, again, biblical illiteracy. We can't be obedient to what we don't know. And we feel like, and we'll get into this more with the next two that we're going to talk about, the next two episodes. But we feel like because God has been patient that we don't need to worry about the day when we see him face to face again. And so we act like we've got all the time in the world. So we say, oh, well, when I get older, let me have my fun now, and then I'll be obedient when I get old.
And, you know, if we look at the church as a whole of being obedient,
mm-hmm.
you know, And we talked about this, you know, probably I think in October, November. Acts 2:42 says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching mm-hmm. and fellowship and to breaking of bread and the prayers. That's the early church. When you get back to the early church.
Oh, yeah.
That's the early church. It doesn't say they devoted themselves to comfort.
Right.
It doesn't say they devoted themselves to doing what they want or making themselves feel adequate.
Yep.
It's obedience.
Well, and you look at times throughout history, and I sincerely believe this is biblical. The times in history that God has been most pleased with the church is when, despite its discomfort, in those times where I'm not talking about American persecution, I'm talking about real persecution is happening, and they continue to devote themselves in obedience to those things. You know, the times where they're meeting in houses and can't turn on a light or can't light a candle because they'll get found out, but yet they're there for 6 hours worshiping God. and worshiping through being in his word and through prayer, those are the times where he finds that worship in those lives most acceptable, most pleasing, most obedient. It's where he sees that love. And then you get, and I agree, there's nothing wrong with being comfortable. I've sat in many a different church pew in my life. I'm thankful for the ones we have. They're fairly comfortable all in all. But at the same time, I do, even though there's nothing wrong with that, I think it's easy then to get lulled into, you know, the spiritual comfort because of our surroundings sometimes. You know, we it's this idea of like we didn't have to sacrifice anything except a little bit of time to be here, so we don't treasure it. We don't approach it the same way that somebody who knows their life could be ended if they're found out worshiping, you know. So man, all right, we got 5 minutes. You got anything else, and then we'll hit final thoughts.
Man,
I take a while.
Yeah. obedience is key, because again, if you have that true love for God, you're going to want to please him, you're going to want to glorify him, and that comes from obedience.
And if, and I guess this is my final thought, and it's going to take a minute, but no, it, this is kind of the umbrella that covers everything else. If you want to know how to have, how to spend more time in your Bible, be obedient. Okay? Be in his word. That's obedience. If you want to know how your prayer life can grow, be obedient. Everything stems from being obedient. And what it really means, if you're struggling with being obedient, you want to know why. At a very base level, you're failing to see God as the sovereign God that he is, the authority of your life, the one who paid for your life through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're trying to take control. And once you realize that great distance, like you're not second place, you and everybody ever that has ever existed compared to God is in last place, the end. There's no second place. When you start to realize that you have no claim on your life, and when you start to realize the greatness of God, that's when you start being able to be obedient. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with everything you said.
Final thought. Give me a final thought. You can't say, yeah, it's not a final thought. Oh.
Obedience is a form of love, and we need to make sure we are showing God that form of love.
It's a far cry from just saying nice things about Scripture on Facebook.
Yeah.
Not that you can't also do that. Yeah. We got enough junk out
Quit
there.
Adding to mine.
Yeah, yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm waiting. I got 30 more seconds.
I'll pray. How about that? Yeah.
All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done, Lord. Be with us as we go out, Lord. Let us always be looking to obedience to be obedient to you, Lord, and show you that love that you deserve, Lord. Because without you, Lord, we are nothing. In your name I pray. Amen.
You know what today is? It's a great day. Yeah.
So have a great day. Finish the stupid thing, man.
Oh, man. Oh, I was feeling so good. You stole my intro last week. That's why. Ah.